Internet Talk Radio, Flame of the Internet.
This is Geek of the Week, and we're talking to Dr. Clifford Lynch, who's Director of Library Automation at the University of California. Welcome to Geek of the Week, Cliff.
Glad to be here.
You got your doctorate in databases from Dr. Michael Stonebreaker, no less, the guru of databases, and yet you're working in the library community. Do computers and libraries come together? Is there a coalescence there?
Well, let me answer that a lot of different ways. Certainly, this, I think, is going to be the decade when information technology really moves into the public side of libraries on a very large-scale basis, far more than we've seen so far. So from a library perspective, yes, information technology is invading, and we can say a lot more about that in a few minutes. From the computer science side, though, I think it's interesting to note that computer science has paid relatively little attention, I think, to some of the problems that come up with very large-scale library automation and public access to information. I think that these are hard problems and also fruitful problems from a computer science point of view. So much of my work in computer science and interest in databases has sort of been motivated from the application back to what we need in the technology to create or facilitate those applications.
And what are some of those technical issues, some of the technical requirements that we need out of networks in order to support large library archives?
Well, it goes the whole gamut, of course, from databases to networks. The database side has a lot of very specific problems with large textual databases. From the network side, you've really got a full gamut of questions from technical to things that really go beyond technical to almost intellectual issues. Technically, many of the key issues really revolve around establishing standards and standards that work. Interchange standards for various forms of information, text, multimedia, things like that.
But don't we have those already? MIME messaging, for example, isn't that an interchange standard for multimedia messages?
To an extent it is, although it's important to note that that's quite new, too. One of the things people, I think, often overlook when you think about library-type problems is the simple issue of scale. It's easy enough to introduce multimedia in the sense that you upgrade somebody's mailer to do multimedia, and next thing you know, mail is coming out with some pasted-in bitmapped images or a bit of voiceover. When you start thinking about well, I have a database of, umpteen million volumes of stuff that I need to convert. Format changes and things like that happen quite slowly. And right now, I think a lot of the, not just library community, but information community more broadly, is sitting on a huge mass of content and is sort of on the verge of moving this to digital forms in a big way.
Does that mean scanning in the books, or does it mean retyping them, or waiting for new books to be produced?
Well, I'm thinking here of this sort of existing base of information, and don't just think books, think also sound recordings and movies and all of these types of material, archives as well. We have massive archival collections of manuscripts and things that have been relatively inaccessible. The scholar had to actually physically go someplace and spend years in a dusty room mining this stuff. once we start moving this into digital form, suddenly these archives will be accessible nationally and internationally, and I think this will make a huge difference to scholarship. But one of the issues right now is that you're only going to want to do those conversions once. They're ferociously expensive. So people are very nervous about making sure that there are sensible standards in place before they invest in those conversions. There's another interesting phenomenon, too, which is the more you capture intellectual content as opposed to surface form, the more expensive it gets. We talk about converting most old print materials by basically scanning and creating bitmapped images. Even OCR at its present level of quality is largely considered out of the question because of the error rate, except as a supplement to support searching on the material in some cases. There have been people who have taken certain collections of material and put them in SGML markup, for example. There's a company called Chadwick Healy that has got an SGML markup of some of the key works in late ancient and early medieval Latin. I'm told they've spent several $1 million creating that database.
Well, putting early Latin works into SGML is somehow appropriate.
Yes, it is.
Is SGML going to be the language of the future? Are we going to expect at least future books to be coded in SGML and posted on the net in that language?
I think you will see some use of SGML. Now, whether they're posted on the net is a very in that form is a very interesting question. If you talk to, for instance, many of the large scientific and technical publishers, companies like Elsevier or Springer Verlag, their editorial processes now are being converted and upgraded in many cases to create SGML material as part of the production of the journals. However, it's not at all clear that they are going to market material in SGML form. In some ways, they're thinking of this as an internal database out of which they can spin multiple products. One of the things that perhaps I shouldn't be surprised at, but I've found a bit surprising in talking to some publishers about the transition to the age of electronic information, is that they are very concerned about presentation integrity of their material. These are print publishers. And they are quite horrified at the thought of distributing SGML and having consumers or repackagers of that information do, say, typesetting on the fly or other types of reformatting to adapt it to different display environments. They feel that's a loss of control of their information that could threaten the perception of the quality of their publications, and they're very nervous about it. In that sense, one finds them a lot more sanguine about distributing bitmapped images.
You're listening to Geek of the Week. Support for this program is provided by O'Reilly & Associates, recognized worldwide for definitive books on the Internet, Unix, the X-Windows system, and other technical topics. Additional support for Geek of the Week comes from Sun Microsystems. Sun, the network is the computer.